take him. Did you know that? Something good happened. Finally, we have the copy scan for Masnavi, the Konya version. They finished scanning it, so we have it as a base for references to our website. Back to where we were. Where were we? What are we talking about? As far as I know, we are almost at the end of book two. Means we are listening to last final details and explanation of what this wisdom is. What is it? The part left for being the last, remember, was magic. Stuff that are not understandable, but they are there. We cannot explain it. We cannot understand it. We could just observe and learn. We started with what? A fellow sitting beside the river, attending to the pants, the clothes, and the Amin observing it. Observing what? Observing the magical stuff that old thousands of God servant fishes will come out of the river, each handling a golden needle. And Sheikh is not interested. He's asking for his old version. Because he doesn't care. This is not something to understand, really. This is something to witness. Because this is the manifestation of an exception. This is not the rule. Rule is just the opposite. Rule is trying to grab some gold. Do you remember the goldsmith? The fellow that my intelligence is in love with? Gold. That's what normally is. Passing behind it. There is a state of mind, a state of being that we call it quote-unquote enlightened. We call them the fellow who arrived, the fellow who are at the other level, a peer, a murad, whatever, master. They don't care about the names. Apparently they don't care about anything we care about. They care about something we are ignorant about. And that thing is very simple and obvious. When you observe it, when it's there. But don't try to understand it, because it's not understandable. This is exactly what we were talking about. You remember there is one of the names of this. There are a lot of given names to this wisdom. You call it the quote-unquote knowledge, wisdom, or I don't know, Sufism, whatever. Within all these names, one has a priority for me. I always refer to that. He says, this is the stage beyond the logic. The way beyond the logic, Torah Varaye Apple. The way beyond the intelligence. That's the magical part of this stuff. And with magic, we mean magical stuff. We don't mean voodoo. We don't mean tricks. If we talk about tricks, it's because we are telling stories. And in stories, tricks are useful. But these are something that is simple doable and easy when you learn it, but it looks very difficult before because it doesn't make sense. Period. It doesn't make sense means it doesn't make sense to my five animal senses, but to other five senses it makes sense. Means when they talk about this old fellow not being interested in those golden needles, in a way I feel good about it. And I feel it is possible. Because I could feel the feeling of someone who has this, that whenever he wishes, he will be offered with the gold like that. I'm thirsty about gold because I don't have anything. I'm poor. This fellow is not poor. Without having anything, he's rich. So everything is twisted like that. I'm being told the story not to imagine that a fellow did this. To expand my imagination about the humanity and the capacity of me. I could do this. I could arrive to that point. But for the moment, it looks magical. Up to here, the stories are magical. Now, let's hear about the attitude we have towards this stuff. Because we don't understand it, what is our reaction when we don't understand something? That something is negative. We don't believe in it. We start doubting, questioning. Our first reaction is that we are tricked. So we are looking for the trick, as if this is the card players doing that stuff. And that's not only a habit, that is a problem. Let's hear this problem. You are the guilty one today, as usual. To make someone happy.
How a stranger reviled the Sheikh, and how the Sheikh disciple answered him. A certain man brought charges against the Sheikh, saying, "He is wicked and not on the path of righteousness. He is a wine drinker and a hypocrite and a scoundrel. How should he be one to succor his disciples?"
One said, "What is this? Listen to it. Before judging the character in the story, listen to the storyteller. Storyteller is saying what? He said, one fellow actually charges against one sheikh. None of them are represented as a known fellow, like Joe and John Doe, something like that. One fellow and one fellow means we are not talking about a special part of this or special part of them. We are talking about general attitude. What is the general attitude? For every single wise fellow, there is the question of qualification. So I believe somebody should be qualified to be a sheikh. And who's the judge of that qualification? Of course, me. Without questioning myself first and qualify or disqualify myself to being a judge of the matter, because a fellow is talking about a sheikh. So we're not talking about what kind of fellow this is, what kind of sheikh is that one. Right? It happens always. This fellow will say, he's no good because he himself is like this. How could he help someone else? This is our attitude. Believing in something, accepting somebody means we approve that fellow's qualification. I am the judge of that, that who is good, who is bad. Yes?
One said to him, observe respect. It is no light matter to think so ill of the great.
You remember I talked, no, you don't, you were not here. I talked a lot about this little word here, which is even difficult for Persians to understand. The word is adab. And adab means politeness, means attitude and things like that. So to an Iranian, when you say adab, you say, oh yes, I know. That's to behave good, being polite and things like that. And nothing could be further from the real meaning of the word. The word is the singular, it's plural, simply means ritual, adab. So adab is ritual, is the way you should behave, the characteristic of a normal behavior in this condition. That's what adab means. So here we will talk about it. Rumi talked about adab in the second paragraph. Remember? Book 1, second paragraph, he said, oh, we pray to God to keep that ritual stuff, because without it, you will be lost. You should control your behavior. Here, the fellow will say, be clever about that ritual. At the same time, yes, you should be polite. It's not polite to say so. Yes?
Far is it from him, and far from those qualities of his, that his clear spirit should be darkened by a flood. Do not put such slander on the people of God. This is fancy on your part. Turn over a leaf.
This is mere fancy of your part, right? Guess what the Persian word is? Khiyal. Remember? Imagination? That khiyal, which is the third sense of the human senses, starts from common sense, then khiyal, imagination, then illusion, you see? That one, here is the word is khiyal, because it is your imagination. This is the image that you could imagine. Why? Because imagine that you are a little bit backward, a couple of years. So you have never seen a color TV. Your attitude about TV is black and white. You don't understand the color. It's normal to be there. That's how it happens. Imagination. That's why we believe in imagination strongly. Do you remember how strong we believe in imagination, Will? First paragraph of this book, last part of it. He said it's like Abraham, the imagination of my beloved. Because that's the key. And he presented us with two different images of a human being, remember? He was talking about imagination, khiyal, but he said, oh, there is this picture that the Satan will draw of me. Scientifically, I will be described as an animal, as an vile, as an vile, as an vile, as an vile.